Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at Odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Tuesday afternoon, April 29th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Grandparents can be a huge help in funding a child's education, and it pays to start early. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the line between having fun and enjoying your job and staying within workplace expectations can sometimes be tricky to navigate. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And every office has that guy or that gal, the person who was responsible for the embarrassing reply all, the person who fell down at the office party, the person who may have taken the boss's coffee cup for a couple of minutes off the microwave this morning. What can you do outside of just shrinking from embarrassment and getting a new job? What can you do to get back in the good graces of your coworkers, or at least demonstrate some good humor about the one time or two that you stepped in it?
Yeah, the best thing you can do is own it. You know, we're in a really unique place in the work environment. We have five different generations working. Some people are working remote. Some people are working in a variation, a hybrid. You've got people that are siloed in their particular belief systems. There's so much variation and stratification that you really can't take a chance on pulling what you think is funny anymore. And when you do, you can't fix it, but the best thing you can do is go own it, because the worst thing you can do in human society is deny that you were that you did something and get busted for it. Nobody forgives you for that.
Now, there are some mistakes that you can make that I would consider good faith mistakes. I mean, when you microwave fish for the first time and people complain about the smell, chances are you're never going to do that again. But there are some people who may have been the office prankster and it was beloved and people liked it in your old job, but you do it in your new job and people have a different attitude. And really, is it on you as the prospective employee to kind of scout out the culture before you bring your old bag of tricks along with you?
Absolutely. The old cliche, know your audience. You know, the thing that I did for 34 years was work with executives and transition. And one of the most common denominators for somebody losing their job was not performance. It was a new boss, because their view of the way things should be is very different than the place before they were there. And you have to understand that, or you're asking for trouble.
If you spend 5 minutes on social media, you see a lot of younger people, men especially, talking about HR in a pejorative way, that human resources came in and took all the fun away compared to the good old days of the 90s and before that. But professionalism is professionalism. So what is your response to someone who thinks that the human resources department is just nothing but a bunch of killjoys?
Well, people don't like to be told what to do. We're a country that was founded by people who didn't want to be told what to do. And we've got, you know, several decades of generations of people that operate that way. But the reality is organizations are social systems, and they have rules and things that need to happen. And human resources in general is trying to pay attention to what's best for everybody, what helps people perform best in their job, what allows the company to get where it wants to go. And when you're pushing against that, you're not pushing against somebody who's telling you to clean your room. You're pushing against the entire culture of the company.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, grandparents can be a key to a college education.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The cost of a college education is daunting, but it can be more attainable if grandparents can pitch in. We're joined by Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lisle, the website preparemyretirement.com. Shane, thank you for joining us today. And I think the one thing every parent really starts to understand is that when you're holding that infant who may be just a few months old and you think, well, we have all the time in the world, the reality is you don't, because that baby may be just sitting there in your arms, and then you blink and they're 13 or 14 and they have thoughts about pop culture and they're saying things that you're saying, where'd you hear that from? And also means that college is a lot closer than you think. And when you have grandparents who are talking about, well, what can we get the baby for their birthday or for a christening or for Christmas or some other event in their life, why not forego the plastic thing and ask for a contribution to their college education?
Exactly. And it's not the old ways where it was just getting a savings bonds and $50 20 years from now would be worth $100. There are a lot more options that are available, especially with 529 college savings plans.
And even a little tiny contribution from a grandparent into that 529 college savings plan could make a tremendous difference over the course of time.
Exactly. Time is such a huge factor when it comes to how long that money has a chance to grow. And in particular, what a lot of people aren't aware of is that there's a grandparent loophole with 529 plans that at least exists for this tax year, which is that if a grandparent starts the 529 plan, so they can't contribute to an existing one that was started by the parent, but if they start it on their own and they own the plan themselves on behalf of the child, according to current rules, those assets are not going to count against them for the FAFSA form. So that's for the federal financial aid programs. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't count for any programs that the institution itself, whether it's public or private, offers on their own. But it will kind of allow you to have your cake and eat it, too, on the federal side.
And then for those of us who may, you know, the college conversation, you don't get really down to brass tacks for maybe a couple of years from now. But when you're talking to your clients who do have kids who are in college or who are about to embark on their college journey, what is the price tag these days? I mean, just for a basic in-state education, and what kind of a difference does saving, whether it's you saving or a grandparent saving on your behalf, what kind of a difference does that make?
It makes a huge difference. I've got a client in particular. They wanted to start saving for the entire cost of sending their son, who hadn't even been born yet, to Notre Dame. They wanted to have it all fully paid for, not needing financial aid at all. And even before they were born, if they started saving $1,000 a month, that's what would be needed, and it still might not be enough to cover the whole way there. So any help you can get from the grandparents or elsewhere certainly does help, whether it's 529 plans or custodial accounts or any other types of vehicles to save for college planning.
You mentioned that story about someone saving before the child was born, but and that may seem like an extreme example of being ahead of the game, but that's actually very smart. I mean, I've heard of that of that happening before, and when someone mentioned this to me years ago, before I was married or even had kids, I thought, wow, that's really, really, you know, being on top of things. We started saving several months after my oldest was born. But I'm hearing stories of people who really start saving for college like when they're 10 or 11. So, when do people start saving in your experience?
When should they versus when do they actually?
Yeah, really.
They should start right away. When they usually do is, unfortunately, when the kids are kind of in middle school, when it starts staring them down the nose and it starts becoming more of a reality that they're going to be there in a few years. And unfortunately, at that point, it's usually too late. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do anything, but you do what you can when you can with what you have. And certainly when grandparents can get involved, that certainly goes a long way.
Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find them online at preparemyretirement.com. Coming up next, searching for clarity in funding for public transit in the Chicago region.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Regional Transportation Authority Chair Kirk Dillard calls the funding situation for public transportation a regional emergency which requires action. We're joined by Joe Schwederman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And the sense of urgency surrounding the funding crisis for the CTA, the Metra, and PACE is growing by the day. And the stories about what needs to be done that you're seeing in the media and elsewhere are growing by the day. And what can be done right now to fill this $771 million transit deficit?
Yeah, that's well stated. I mean, the tension in the air is palpable when you see transit leaders, because we really just have 5 weeks left in Springfield for the General Assembly to take action. And, you know, none of the choices are pleasant. You know, tax increases, perhaps merging agencies or centralizing the control to win over votes. And, you know, that's we're, again, on the edge of this fiscal cliff. So I do think Springfield will put this front and center, but we'd hope by now we'd have a better sense of how we can get out of this big crisis.
And it seems the real issue here is when it comes to merging the transit agencies is that on the one hand, you have people who don't want to, or entities that don't want to give up the power that they once enjoyed. And then the other part of the of a merger discussion is that the CTA is so large that the other service boards would feel crowded out if the CTA, Metra, and PACE were merged.
That's exactly right. And it mirrors what we saw in the early 70s when the Regional Transportation Authority created just suburban distrust of how if we create a regional entity, which could either be merging the agencies, which hasn't got much traction, or a more sort of a hybrid plan that Kirk Dillard's put forth for the RTA that really pulls them together in new ways with greater RTA oversight. And that's always a skeleton in the closet. Will Chicago control this entity? Will the mayor play ball? I do think, though, what we've seen, and I always mention that the transit systems are widely supported in both city and suburbs. Everybody sees it as critical. So I think we can get past that. But boy, that board, how the board is set up sure is a political football.
And this is also taking place in a larger context of the old patterns of commuting are breaking down as a result of COVID-19. I mean, Metra, the CTA, and PACE all exist in the world where people would leave their home, they would get on a bus or train, go into downtown Chicago by 9 o'clock, and then that bus or train would bring them home. And that commuting pattern doesn't exist anymore. It's all day now.
Oh, exactly right. And that changes the dynamics. We have more weekend riders and fewer Monday through Friday, 5 day a week riders. I think one thing that transit agencies have made a good case is almost as many people use transit as before. They just don't have those 5 day a week commuters. So there is a constituency there for this. And, you know, the service cuts we have seen are not bluffs. I mean, we're looking at 40% cuts, whole bus routes could be dropped. And the feds, you know, there's just not much sense that Washington is going to come to the rescue here. So things they're looking at, everything from toll increases on our tollway system, perhaps for sales tax changes. But everybody knows we need an element of reform for anything to move forward.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, what you need to know about summer vacations in Europe.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, I'm Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, and this is our biggest sale ever. Buy a new air conditioner or furnace and get 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Plus, Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000, guaranteed. Call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The noon business hour continues. The markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And maybe you can help us explain the psychology of the markets here, because it seems like all of the same stresses exist. The VIX is still elevated, and you're seeing more and more companies pulling their 2025 guidance, yet it seems like investors just want to buy their way through it.
Well, you're right, Rob, and I think a big part of that is the expectation that sooner or later there will be trade deals announced by the Trump administration. China, South Korea come to mind as being maybe two of the more likely countries to achieve that. And I think that's what people are worried, more worried about missing the upside than they are about the economic impact that the tariffs will have, because we won't know those for months.
And then you bring up a very good point, too, and that is, and I mentioned this yesterday, if you spend any time on social media, especially among the big financial accounts, you're starting to see stories about ships that are stuck in port in China or ports in the United States that are have very little traffic when they were booming just a couple of months ago. So how do you square that, anecdata, for lack of a better word, with just the general optimism that things will eventually work out?
I think it's just people have this belief, Rob, that deals will be made and those problems that you just cited won't be that significant and then will quickly go away. Really, it underscores that the length of time it takes to get these trade deals in place will have a great bearing on how big of a problem in supply shortages that could develop over the next 60 days. So again, people are looking at just what's in front of them right now. They think deals are coming, and I think they're expecting the big four, the Mag 7, to come in with decent earnings. So, the market, to me, looks like the S&P has the potential to rally up to about 5,700. Once this leg of the rally is over, Rob, I think the S&P has a good shot of dropping back to the lows that we saw in early April, which is just under 5,000.
We talk about uncertainty today because there's just so much that we don't know. At one point in the evolution of this process, will we begin to see clarity on what's going to happen when it comes to tariffs? Is it going to be the announcement of trade deals? Is it going to be pictures of empty store shelves? What's the most likely clarity scenario that we're talking about here?
I think it really is the trade deals, although empty store shelves and such will put pressure, obviously, on the administration. And I think countries like China are almost betting that kind of pressure will force the administration to make more friendly deals with them. But I think President Trump and his folks, they're dead set on following through on this, Rob. So I think the level of pain will have to be pretty high for them to change course.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, new rules are in place and big crowds are expected in Europe this summer.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Travel Tuesday. There are new rules for travel to Europe, and it's expected to be another packed summer overseas. Let's tap the expertise of Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale. The website travelbta.com. Angie, thank you for joining us today. And a trip to Europe can be a once-in-a-lifetime experience or a once-in-every-couple-of-years experience or maybe a once-a-year experience. But if you're spending a week overseas, you don't want to spend more time than necessary staring at your phone or trying to jump through logistical hoops. So what are some things you need to know if you're traveling to Europe this summer to make everything go a little more smoothly?
Yes. Well, if you're traveling through London or your vacation is to London and the UK, you do need the electronic travel authorization form. It's rather simple to fill out. I filled out much more challenging documentation during the pandemic, so I wouldn't let that alarm you. If you're avoiding the UK, all other European travel information and authorization system documentations that will be required in the future, those are being pushed till 2026. So you can disregard that information for now.
And one thing you need to know before you go, and that is make sure you check the expiration date on your passport, because even if you're within 6 months of expiration, that passport could be no good.
You're absolutely right. And I would also make sure that you have enough empty pages. Some countries require that you have 2 empty pages to travel. So keep that in mind as well.
And on top of that, we talk about how there is demand slipping for domestic travel in the United States. Some airlines are talking about cutting fares and cutting capacity later this year. That is not the case in Europe. Americans they're still beating a path through the skies to get to Europe this summer. And so I just prepare for crowds.
Right. And the virtual work environment, which continues, I think plays a big part in our ability to not only travel, but to travel for extended periods of time where you can be in Europe for 3-4 weeks, if not the summer, yet still being available to work. Yes, you have to juggle differences in perhaps your work hours, but that's a real luxury that wasn't available, 5 to 10 years ago for many people.
And the other thing is just, get this. This may seem like a travel tip culled from the pages of Duh magazine, but it's going to be hot in Europe this summer, and summers in Europe are hotter than they used to be.
I agree. And I think it's also remembering that you're outside for such longer durations. Maybe you're not at the beach, but you're still out for 7-8 hours. That's a longer duration than what we typically expose ourselves from during the normal course of a day. So yes, stay hydrated. That's another big variable. I think heat can be exacerbated if you don't have enough hydration, and certainly, protect your skin as well. And keep in mind, sometimes we think that short sleeves is going to keep you cooler. It usually doesn't. And I'll also give you a reminder that most cathedrals in Europe do require that you cover your shoulders. So that's another reason to stay on top of the dress codes.
And Europe's relationship with ice is different than our relationship with ice. So if you're hydrated, enjoy that one ice cube that's going to be in your water bottle when you're traveling through Europe. And then the other thing is that just, have a plan B for everything. Just know that, some things may just not happen, and always have something in your back pocket in case something on your itinerary goes awry.
Right. We always give our travelers a travel app that has all of their documents, links to their hotels, links to the airlines. And I think that that resource is something that you can make available with your own travel by just saving documents in your notes, just making sure you have that accessible. And I always like to tell travelers, think about some of the worst things that could happen when you're traveling. Maybe you missed that East Coast connection before going abroad. How does that affect your travel? Because when you're in those situations, if you've kind of thought about it in advance, you tend to manage it a little bit with more calmness. And travel, oftentimes we experience hiccups, but in the end, it ends up being some of the laughable moments or just things that we remember. And there's oftentimes bonding experiences with other travelers when those things tend to happen.
And then lastly, when you're going overseas, just be nice. Be nice to everybody you meet, because chances are you may run into people with very definite opinions about the United States these days.
Yeah, and not to talk politics, I will tell you, I've been to Europe a couple of times in the last 6 months, and they respect Americans. And keeping politics aside, the tourism industry in Europe and other countries, they thrive on the American travelers. So you are wanted. And I think everyone should just go to Europe and have a wonderful vacation and enjoy what awaits you.
Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, Arizona. Find her online, travelbta.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, the latest car recall involves hundreds of thousands of vehicles.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
General Motors is recalling nearly 600,000 Chevrolet, Cadillac, and GMC vehicles due to engine issues. Let's get the details from Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent, based in Detroit. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. We're talking about 600,000 vehicles. It's an engine issue, and you no doubt, if you are a driver, have received a recall notice already. But what are some of the telltale signs that your vehicle could be eligible for a recall before that notice arrives in the mail?
Well, there have been a number of cases where these vehicles have just, the engine has failed and they have just stopped. There have been a dozen accidents and about a dozen injuries. We don't know how severe. So it's kind of a significant issue. Hard to tell, as in all recalls, whether your vehicle has a problem. You'll get a notice in the mail if you have one of these vehicles. And the best thing to do is follow the instructions, or if you have any questions, contact the dealer that you bought the vehicle from, because these are all fairly new 21 through 24 model year vehicles.
Now, this sounds like it could be a fairly complicated fix. I mean, it seems like the trend with vehicle recalls recently is that they're not recalls at all. The company just updates the software in the car, but this involves actual equipment.
Yeah, and it involves the engine, which obviously anytime anybody's had an engine repair, that can be very expensive and very complex. And that's why it's important this is a recall, because while, you know, you have to deal with not having your car for a little while, hopefully the dealer can give you some sort of loan, or at least you don't have to pay for the repair. So that's the important thing about the recall. But yeah, you know, there are software issues, but there are good old-fashioned hardware issues as well. And this was a manufacturing defect of some sort.
And what kind of a hit does this represent for GM, which has already pulled its 2025 guidance just because of uncertainty over tariffs? As a car maker, you never want a recall, but this seems to be coming at a fairly inopportune time.
Yeah, you never want a recall, but you certainly don't want to avoid a recall either, because that costs you even more. They haven't announced what kind of hit to the bottom line it's going to be. Obviously, it is going to be a hit to the bottom line, but probably not nearly as significant as tariffs and things like that.
And Jeff, while I have you on the phone, President Trump is heading to Michigan to mark his first 100 days in office, and it's expected he's going to talk about tariffs with respect to the auto industry. Any type of what's the word on the ground in Michigan? What will this announcement entail?
It looks like car makers who've been talking a lot to the president are going to get a bit of a break. First, some of the tariffs will be phased in a little bit because the car makers will need time to move production back to the U.S. And some of the other tariffs, you know, he'll take into account double dipping, where you wouldn't have to pay a tariff on both aluminum, steel, and also moving a vehicle across the border. So they're changing some of the rules to make them more logical. And most likely the other shoe that will fall will come from car makers, who will probably announce some new investments in the U.S.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's show, just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.